Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Good morning. Welcome to From Marva with Love. I am your host today, Marva Sneed. Listen, I just got to start out with this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Come rain or shine, it is a beautiful day. Oh, it's fabulous Friday, y'all. You know, it really is. The weather is great here in North Central Texas. If you're on the East Coast, I bet it's pretty good over there, too. But I also heard that there was kind of a rainstorm. But then on the West Coast, you know, they say it never rains in Southern California. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, I have a very exciting show planned for you today. I have a couple of, you know, big heavy hitters that are going to share some really wonderful things with you and share their stories and how they have overcome, you know, because this last year and a half almost now has been overwhelming for the most part for everyone. And we've tried to get back to, as my friend Terry said last week, not a new normal or get back to normal, but a better normal. You know, we've got children going back to school. There's still a lot of controversy going on whether you should or should not wear a mask. But as I was saying, my first guest today is Mar Butler, and he is an executive. He is a inspirational, motivational speaker. He is a program director for Dallas Creed and trying to get young men to make a better decision when they step out, make a better decision. He has a very compelling story about what he has been through and where he is now and some exciting thing about where things are going. So we're going to be talking to Mar Butler a little bit in a little while. He will be our first guest on the show today. And then our second guest today is going to be a young lady. Her name is Danielle Izzard. And Miss Danielle, she was a guest. She's a good friend of From Marvel with Love. She was a guest back in June, and she told us about this journey that she was on and what she was going to do. And so she's got some good news, some really good news to share about the victory that was won in this journey. So we're going to hear from her. She also makes these incredible soaps for our skin that's not going to, they're all organic and natural. They're not going to break you out, you know. So anyway, we're going to be talking to her about that and what her new venture is because of this victory she's won. So Danielle will be on in a little while, but I want to just go over, you know, maybe a couple of highlights of what has been happening, you know, basically in the news. Well, you know, Texas Metro News hits the streets on Thursdays, and Garland Journal as well. Now, Garland Journal is a biweekly, so it hits it on the first and the third. Now, Texas Metro is every Thursday that it hits the streets, and we have some really great articles in here. This week in Dallas Dallas's own Chris Bosh was inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame. This article is written by our sports editor. Her name is Dorothy Gentry, and you can check it out. Read this story. He was very humbled, and it was really, really great to hear. So you can get to read the paper on our website as well, and that is www.texasmetronews.com. That's www.texasmetronews.com. And also, Garland Journal has its own website as well. That's www.garlandjournal.com. And then we have our women's magazine, I'm Messenger, and it is digital. And it comes out on Fridays, every single Friday. And you can get it at myimessenger.com. That's www.myimessenger.com. Now, we do a daily e-blast, and we would love to have you on it. And you can receive in your inbox every single morning our newsletter. And that is the latest of what is going on. If there's anything missed or, you know, or you want to catch up on something, you can find it in our daily newsletter. Now, all you have to do, actually, you can click on the Texas Metro News Garland Journal or iMessenger's website. And there is a pop-up window going to pop up, and all you have to do is subscribe to the newsletter. Or you can go to editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. You can go there, leave your name and your email address, and we will put you on our daily newsletter e-blast, and so you won't miss a thing. Now, we are doing a daily superb woman. And today's superb woman is Judge Rhonda Hunter. Rhonda Hunter is a judge of the 303 Judicial District Court. She was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Judge Rhonda Hunter is integrated T.W. Brown Jr.'s high school and was one of the African Americans at Kimball High School in Dallas. She graduated from Scott High School, and she was a chief of the juvenile division in the Dallas County DA's office. Judge Hunter is a board certified in family law and child welfare law by the Texas Board of Legal in Dallas in 2016 and in 2017 by DCEO magazine, and was featured on the cover of 2016 edition of Texas Super Lawyer. I think that's Super Lawyer. I'm sorry, my eyes are not so good today. A dancer, choreographer, teacher, and she was the president of the Dallas Bar Association, J.L. Turner Legal Association, and Dallas Association of Black Women Attorneys. And we salute you today, Judge Rhonda Hunter, as our superb woman for today. If you know her, hit her up and just say congratulations. Now, it is a lot. Like I said, it's a lot going on. And I was watching the news last night. And as I was sitting there, there was a story. And it was from Ohio. And it was, you know, it had two sides, of course. You had a family that absolutely did not want their children to wear a mask to school, and then you had a family where she definitely wanted her children to be able to wear masks to school to protect them as best that they can. And so that controversy is, I don't know, it's getting worse, I think. You have so many people with, you know, that are on the two sides of that coin. Now, the one woman, she has three children, and she is for the mask. Now, she has a daughter who has one lung, and she was very, very concerned about them. She wanted them to go back to school, but she was very concerned about her daughter, you know, being compromised, because if you've got children in there who don't have masks on, you don't know who has the virus, who hasn't, who could be asymptomatic, and she didn't want to take any chances. So she's making sure that her children wear that. Now, there's, like I said, in Texas, there's a big controversy. Their governor is saying no mask mandate, but a lot of ISDs have chosen to make that a mandate. Here in North Central Texas, in this Dallas area, my granddaughter goes to Duncanville High School, and they are mandating that children wear a mask, at least for the first, it's a temporary mandate, for the first quarter. So, I want her to. She's not vaccinated, and I want her to wear a mask. And a lot of people just don't want, they don't want the vaccinations. They don't want to wear masks. Here's another story. Right here across the street from us, there is the Yvonne Yule Townview Center. It is a charter high school. And this year, the parents have decided, a lot of the parents decided, that they didn't want their children on buses. So instead of them taking the bus to school, they are bringing them. And so what has happened is three times the traffic that it had been in the mornings dropping off those children. And they had to find a way to navigate that traffic to get people in and out of there as quickly as possible. And I just thought, you don't want your kid to ride the bus? Are you also don't want them to have on a mask? I mean, you know, do you realize that, you know, this thing is something that should be here. I mean, I wear a mask. I'm in the office in the studio by myself today, but I do wear a mask, and I wear it everywhere I go, and I keep it hanging on here. There are also some great comments made by a doctor on this news show that I watched last night. And you've got one side saying that, oh, people are getting acne. People are getting infections. They're getting because they can't breathe and the masks are causing all. And then the doctor stated clearly, the only thing that might be happening because of the mask is some acne. But all those other things that they were naming, that mask does not cause infection in the nose because you were wearing it. And so I was like, wow. So where are we getting our news from? Where are you getting your news from? You know, are you anyway concerned about this? If you are, tell me what your concerns are. You can write them in our chat here on Facebook. We are live here at Facebook.com and on Texas Metro News page. And so, yeah, just tune in and let me know what you think, because I just think that there's no reason for us not to continue to wear the mask. And now that I'm vaccinated, I'm fully vaccinated, and I do wear my mask. You know, usually I would get a cold, have a cold, or, you know, have some allergies. But wearing this mask, that really helps me, especially when I'm outside. And at this time of the year, with the way that the weather is going, and the changing of the seasons and stuff, is usually when allergens really kick up. But if you've got a mask on, you can actually keep some of that down. Now, haven't had to take any type of medication for my allergies, or I've had a cold or anything. And I will get the flu shot also this year. So That is my opinion. I want to hear about yours. I want to hear what you have to say and what you think about that. Now, as we wait for our special guest, Mr. Butler, let me just tell you a little bit about Mr. Butler. He's an executive. He's an inspirational speaker for the Black Male Agenda. And Mar Butler is the program director for the Violence Interpreter Team, Dallas Cred. Mar is a motivational speaker and coach who empowers young people to make harmful choices with who make harmful choices with tools to rebuild their lives. He knows firsthand how making destructive decisions can impact a young person's life. 10 years ago, Mr. Butler returned from prison on gun and robbery charges connected to a violent illegal drug transaction where the victims were people from his own neighborhood. Now, he is far above that now, and he made some better decisions. And so we want to talk to him. We're going to talk to him about that and find out exactly, you know, how that journey has impacted his life. And so he's going to be on in, you know, in just a little bit. So now back to just some other things that are going on in the news as well. Now, I mentioned earlier about Dallas's Chris Bosh being inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame. You know, he is a native Dallas and went to Lincoln High School. This Saturday night, in a room full of NBA upper crust like Pat Riley, Bill Russell, LeBron James, and others, our Dallas native Chris Bosh was inducted into the NBA's prestigious Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. During his acceptance speech, the 37-year-old acknowledged that many tears he had shed throughout his lifetime. What a wonderful thing we see, you know. And there were so many choices he could have made, but he made some really good choices with his life and what he's done. Our columnist, Vincent L. Hall, he writes a weekly column called Quit Playing. Well, this week's his column is Shower Your Blessings on Arm. The old adage is that when it rains, it pours, and it must be valid for all aspects of life. He says, I had two excellent reasons to support the Adult Rehab Ministries, which is arm of the Golden Gate Baptist Church. Just a few days ago, North Texas Giving Day is upon us, and now I have three reasons. So it is North Texas has Giving Day, and it is September the 23rd. So if you still have some funds that you can give, please pick out a nonprofit that you can give to. There's so many of them out there, but this is when we as Texans, we really kind of step up to the plate. Because there's still a lot of people out there that are hurting. But you can read all about Quit Playing, Shower Your Blessings on Arm in our Texas Metro News. And again, that website is www.texasmetronews.com. Okay, so we are waiting for Mr. Butler to show up on our feed. So we're going to just shoot him a text. And let him know we are waiting. So now, do you have any plans for the weekend? Because there's a lot going on, and there absolutely is. There's a lot going on. with everything. In fact, we will tell you. Let me just finish this. Do you have the link? Okay. All right. So, So let's talk about that. So in the paper, in the community calendar, we have some really, really great things coming up. Okay. So tomorrow is the 18th. Let's see. We can start out tonight. If there's anything that you want to do, you want to get out and party, and, you know, there's a couple of things in here. The little Kiki and ESG is live. Their host is Stand Up for Something Group at the Rail Club Live, and that's in Fort Worth, and that's at 3101 Joyce Drive in Fort Worth. You can check that out. Oh, there he is. Okay, so let's just go ahead. We'll come back to the community calendar, and let's welcome our guest, Mr. Butler. I'm going to invite him in the stream. Hello, Mr. Butler.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
I am good.
Today is good.
Friday, but it's still like a Monday for me, but I am here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, welcome to the show. And do you mind if I call you Mar?
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Perfect. So now I just kind of get that highlighted everything what's going on with you, but I want you to share with our listening audience today. You know, I stated earlier in the introduction that you are a motivational speaker, a coach, and the program director for Violence Interpreter Team Dallas Cred. So tell us a little bit about your journey, how you began on this journey, because you know, we all don't just wake up perfect. We try to get there. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
I got you. We're not on the show right now, right?
Yeah, we are.
What?
Yeah.
You're late for my show. Oh my God, you said 11:30.
Oh, I thought it was 11:15, but I'm sorry. I don't worry about it. We good.
It's okay. So for one, this right here is the original shirt. So this is the original Dallas Cred shirt. But today I'm using it to celebrate all the volunteers. So people that volunteer and help us out is called the Dallas Incredibles, right?
Okay.
Acknowledging you for doing your good work. So I've been wearing this right here all day. It's a little tight, but I'm here, you know? So I just want to just first of all acknowledge them, because that's how I started out. You want the short version or the long version, but let's go the short version.
Okay.
I was locked up in prison for 10 years. So that's where it all started.
Okay.
It was a drug deal that went bad at the point of time. They still don't have a crime for a bad drug deal. So I spent 10 years of my life in prison for aggravated robbery. Both of us did. Aggravated robbery against each other with a deadly weapon. So I did 10 years. During that 10 years, I realized that, like every other male in my family, if I don't do something to change this cycle, I was going to die here. And that's what was my wake-up call. And I wanted to do something about my life, which started for me, for one, learning how to become a man. I had to figure out what a man was before I even entertained the idea of manhood. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to, first of all, figure out that I wasn't a man and really admit that, because I wasn't willing to do anything that pertains under the responsibility of what a man actually does. So I had to first of all figure out what he is, not just as a man, but as a black man in his own community. And I realized that I had fallen short. And so I did everything that I could possibly do. I read books. I just educated myself, really just even no matter what hours it was during the night, I would stay up long hours just reading and studying and practicing. I still have this same affirmation that I said to this day back when I didn't have anything, which was, I'm Mar Butler. I'm the financially independent entrepreneur, great husband. I'm a loving father. I'm a successful motivational speaker, teacher, leader, and author. And I said that in the depths of my prison cell around 2 o'clock in the morning when I had nothing. I was not married. I was not having anything, hardly no family, no support. You know, my mother, my father were had fixed income, so they couldn't support me at that time. You know, just it was really hard, you know. And so, you know, after that, 10 years, really just making it out and having that resolve that no matter what, I was going to make it, not just for myself, but I wanted to do something that was different. I wanted to do something not just for myself, but I wanted to break those chains of that recidivism and those the trajectory of the degenerative mindset that we are so prone to do in the neighborhood that I grew up in West Dallas, going and looking at nothing, therefore I'm expecting nothing. Mm-hmm. If I'm expecting nothing, then I'm receiving nothing and doing nothing in the process. And so that was my whole life at that time. You know, every male in my father had either saw the behind the bars of a prison cell once or they died because of the street. You know, it's not too many males left. And I didn't want that to happen for me. Mm-hmm. And so that process required me waking up in the morning at 3:45, being at the door at 4:30 a.m., running almost a whole mile to the nearest bus station in order to catch the 5 o'clock bus, in order to catch the 6 o'clock TRE train to travel from Dallas all the way to Fort Worth, Texas for a minimum wage paying demolition job. And
wow. Okay. So hold on to that because I have a couple of questions here. So how old were you when you went to prison to serve those 10 years?
I was 28 years old.
Okay. And so now, what changes did you find yourself having to make when you got out? You've heard, and I know I have heard that a lot of men that come out, they don't know what to do. They're just kind of standing there. So they end up going back to what they are most familiar with and doing that again. And that's how they end up in prison for a second, third time, and sometimes ends up there for life. So what did you do to not make that decision again?
Already just having that resolve that it was going to be hard. Right. I knew that when I got out, you know, whenever I made it out, I would say that I was going to be almost 40 years old, you know, just really just notating the variables and really being reasonable and real about my truth. I would say, okay, when you get out, you're going to be 40 years old or almost 40 years old. You're going to be 10 years plus with no job experience. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you're not going to have a place to stay. You're not going to have any money. You know, those are the things that you have to be looking at. So me landing on the streets, that means I have to operate as though I had nobody to depend on. Mm-hmm. And that made me want to go harder at what I want to do in life, understanding that that's what I was going to face. I know that we have supporters, and I know that we have sisters and brothers and family members and friends that could look out for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the mindset that we have and the misconception is that just because somebody is out here doesn't mean that they have to support you because you need them.
Okay.
You have to go on in life as though you have no one if you really, truly want to make it. And that developed that mental toughness. Everything started from the mental toughness first.
Okay.
And once I developed that mental toughness, mm-hmm. it enabled me to tough it out in a physical sense. Because I went from being a drug dealer,
mm-hmm.
which used to make over $1,000 an hour, to then I had to make $7.25 an hour. You know, that was hard for me.
Yeah.
So I had to pad it up here first mentally.
Wow. And so did you feel like you still were being tempted by that? How did you fight off? You didn't.
No.
Okay.
The only thing that made it that probably would have tempted me was already knowing that, you know, I got to make it. And mm-hmm. I had to have something that was bigger than myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if it would have lied on me,
mm-hmm.
I would have been right back doing the same thing.
I got you. So you found that there is somebody bigger than you.
Yes,
and it ain't
yes,
all right. about you, even though you had to be a man. You had to actually stand up and, you know, I heard somebody say that, you know, you heard that saying, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, there are so many people and so many communities, they don't even have the boots. So how are they going to do that? So now let me ask you this. How were you treated Was there a difference in the way society treated you when you came out after 10 years?
Yes, most definitely. You know, it's easy to break trust, but it's really hard to bring it back. And you can't expect anyone to trust you just because you say that you're not going to do wrong anymore. That was a trust factor that I had to just teach. Even my mother, you know, she told me one time back in, I believe it's 2008 or 2009, I was still getting in trouble in prison, too. I'm not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back and forth to solitary. And my mother was like, you just have to make better choices, you know, make right choices. And it wasn't until like maybe a couple of years ago, she just stopped saying that, like make right choices. And here I was traveling around the country and being a motivational speaker and teaching other people. But when she made, it became such a habit, like I get off the phone with you. I love you, son. Make right choices. Because and it's a reminder, a constant mental reminder that, hey, this is something that you have to do for you, even if no one believes you. It was hard, being treated as a violent offender, as though I violated the rights of an innocent citizen who never got in trouble. It was like, hey, it was a drug deal that went bad between two drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't believe that story. They still treat you because of what you had on your record. Violent offenders get this type of treatment. And I waited to the time no one was hiring. There were no prison reentry or second chance programs or anything of that sort like they have now, like I'm able to present to people right now.
Okay.
There were no programs like that.
Wow.
I had to find that, and the closest job I had was in Fort Worth, Texas.
Wow. So what was that you said early? There's no for a drug deal going bad, there's no crime for that. So
no.
Explain that.
No, they don't have. It's either you have a crime against the person or the person has a crime against you. But two drug dealers or two criminals actually having a crime against one another, there's no real there's no law for that.
Okay.
You know, of punishment. That,
okay.
You know, that warrants punishment. So you don't have to, you don't know how to label that.
Okay.
So therefore you just place something on that, you know, and that's what it was.
Oh, wow. That
yeah.
is just amazing to me. That is absolutely amazing. So now, how did you build those better choices? Was it a stepping stone for you? I mean, and what were the steps? What were the first steps to building better choices to make?
And it's funny that you should ask that, because I end up developing a formula through all of this that actually helped to teach in the motivational speeches that I gave, the videos, the programs that I write for people now. And it still stems back from when I had to use it on myself.
Okay.
So I am the first participant of this program. And it's called TREE. And
TREE.
The TREE formula, the TREE is an acronym, and the TREE stands for Truth, Restore, Empower, and Evolve. The first thing I did, as I stated before, Marva, was I had to face my truth. It's like, what is my real truth? I knew that I was going to be a person who was over 40 years old with over a decade of no work experience, no place to live. No, you know, no really family support, not really at that point of time. They couldn't help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I had a violent crime. So now that's my truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now what am I going to do with that? And now when I take that truth, now I'm going to try to look for resources. What can help restore me back to who I am?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because for one, I'm still a man.
Mm-hmm.
I still have all of my limbs. I'm still alive and free. I live in the city of Dallas. I have places, you know, that's when I'm able to galvanize, okay, now I've got all my negatives. What are my positives, you know, and can I put them together? And if I can't do them myself, who can I reach out to? Are there other resources of people who can have those and try to put all of that into place?
Mm-hmm.
But no or not is not an option.
Okay.
That's one thing that I had.
Okay.
No is not an option, because as soon as I start saying I can't, I start inviting all of those other things that start confirming, yeah, you're right, you can't do it because you're by yourself. You're right because you're over 40. Yeah, you can't because you don't have nobody helping you, which is the main thing, the stigma that we attach to that a lot of people entertain, and they go back to prison because they are entertaining those thoughts, the negative thoughts of what they can't do, rather than going the extra step and start reminding themselves of what they can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so repeat that tree again. Truth.
Restore.
Restore.
Empower.
Empower.
Yes, and evolve.
And evolve, okay.
Yes.
All right. So those are some really great things. So, all right, so we just talked about the truth, what it is, who you are, and you got to stand in it. And then you talked about restore, so you need some resources to help you, you know, to get where you need to go. And then now, empower, what is that? Talk about empower.
Well, if you can go through accepting your truth and you go reaching out to those resources.
Mm-hmm.
And resources, I want to go back to that just one second.
Okay, go ahead.
Resources really requires you to not be afraid to ask for the help. A lot of people are so afraid to ask for the help because if you ask for the help, it means that you have to admit to being without, right, and not really having it. And a lot of people that come out of incarceration, and even some people who've never been incarcerated at all, you don't want to ask for help because you don't want to admit that you don't have.
Okay.
You know, whether you don't have the knowledge or the know-how or you don't have the finances or whatever, there are so many resources out here that will ask you, but you don't want to stand in line. You don't want everybody knowing your problems that's going on up under your roof. I mean, we experience that all the time.
We do, yes.
Right. And so it's hard to restore somebody if you don't admit where you are in your place.
Right.
That's the whole purpose of restoration, is to put you back into your original place, whatever that may be. And so once you're doing that, now you have tools to become empowered.
Okay.
I can do it.
Okay.
I can do this.
Okay.
I have this person I can reach out to. Sure, I don't have family. I don't have my old friends, but guess what? I have some new friends.
Uh-huh.
I have a job. You know, I have transportation. I can humble myself. You know, I don't have to go to the mall anymore.
Right.
If I can humble myself to know that I can just give me some threads from Walmart, I shopped at Walmart for 2 years, buying clothes, and I walked out that store like I was on Wall Street.
Hello, right? I hear that.
That's right, because it's the confidence in me. It's like, hey, if I'm walking these steps, I'm going to be somebody. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go a step further, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I just need you to see it first, and I'm going to see it. I'm going to show you that I am. And when I went to that work, to that demolition job, I worked it so hard as though because I knew I was just passing through.
Okay.
I knew it was just training for me. So I gave it the best that I got. And I'm going to do the best job that I can do, not just for myself, but for the next person that's like me that comes after me. You're going to remember me, and you're going to open the door for them because you remembered me.
Right.
And that has been that trait that has lasted for so long. When I go 120%, 150%. Because I know that when you remember me, you're going to give the next person who had the chance to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to remember me because of who I am and the work that I've done. And that's what I do. I just want to bust the doors open for other people to walk through. And so it empowers you when you have those tools.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you need to continue to go for.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you need in case you fall. This is what you need in case you need emotional, moral, or social support from somebody. This is what you can need, and you empower yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you evolve, give it back.
Okay, and you evolve, you're giving it back.
You're giving it
back.
Wow,
I like that. Evolve is giving it back.
Giving
it back. So,
you're at this level. Now you got to reach down and grab somebody else up.
Right.
Yes.
So what were the sacrifices? What do you feel like, what were the sacrifices that you had to make?
Well, first of all, it came mentally and emotionally with learning how to humble myself.
Okay.
Yes. Humility was the first thing of the sacrifice, just being humble, learning how to be content with the little that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So if that meant going and catching a train and catching the bus, you know, while all of my old drug dealer friends and people who remember me from the club and the VIP, you know, sections and everything, when they remember me and they saw me getting on the bus, I had to be content with that.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my sacrifices. I had to be content with my first car being so small. Mm-hmm. I had to be like, I was like doing the hokey pokey. You know what I'm saying?
Because you're a big guy.
trying to figure out how I'm going to get in this car. It's like a minor thing. Okay, I'm going to figure it out. say. If I put my right foot in and take my left foot out, you know, but oh, it was an obstacle course.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, man. And so when I got in, the whole car just, you know, got dark and, you know, it was laying down. It was a little four cylinder, so I couldn't outrun nobody. Right? I can tell you, I never got a speeding ticket in that car right there.
Okay.
You know? No,
okay.
Not at all, man. But just humbling myself, learning how to deal with that, how to go with that until, and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Patience.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Yeah, patience. Knowing that it will come. If you know it's going to come, it develops patience.
Okay.
It's only when you feel like you don't, it might not be there. That's what spawns desperation. And you never want to act or make moves out of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn that along the way. You know, being without my children, I had a daughter. She was 3 years old and a 9 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got out there, you had one who was a grown woman and the other one was a teenager. And
wow.
Trying to establish relationships with them and rekindle was
wow.
very hard. You know, because they don't know you. A decade is a long time.
Right.
Yeah, to go without someone being in your life, and those were strained relationships that you try to go back and learn how to, you know, reestablish yourself and say, okay, well, I can't catch up. I can't do that. I
mm-hmm.
know you're not daddy's little girl anymore, so
exactly.
maybe I can figure out ways to catch you. You know, and,
uh-huh.
and just try to be the best role model that I can for you right now. And that starts with me.
Yeah.
Being in a position, you know, always placing myself in the position. Those were just some of the sacrifices that you make a lot. And then gaining the approval of others, being able to work for free. I had to do a lot of this work that I'm getting paid for now.
Mm-hmm.
I do for free.
Right.
To let them know because it was inside of my heart. All the time. It's
now, I'm going to ask you a question from a different point of view, from a religious point of view.
Okay.
So how did you, during that time, those 10 years, was that a time that you actually grew in relationship with God? Or, and you may not call him God. You may call him Muhammad. You might call him, you know, something else. But tell me about that. Tell me about that time and how that happened for you.
Well, it was during that time, yes, I had to develop a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
See, I grew up in a church.
Okay.
Right? I grew up playing the drums and everything of that sort. So I knew the church program.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I knew how to play church. I knew how to shout. I knew how to quote scriptures.
Wow.
I knew all the songs, the little praise dance songs, what's coming up next.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have no relationship with God.
Wow.
I had relationship with people in church.
Okay.
And that's what a lot of us still suffer from now, right? We have a lot of people that know how to play good church, but they don't have a relationship with God.
Wow.
And what I developed was a true, unadulterated relationship with God.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And when I began to have a relationship with God, God let me know that you are someone and your whole slate starts clean. The day that you submit yourself and you truly believe that, like digest that, you know, inside of you, I am someone. I am somebody. I don't have to let man tell me anything. I just have to keep going and let God open the doors for me. And that's all that has happened. It went from the point of time, Marva, to where I would join other organizations or mm-hmm. institutions, even when I worked with the city of Dallas and some of the higher,
mm-hmm.
you know, the elected programs or mm-hmm. events. I couldn't necessarily tell you
mm-hmm.
about my story, what I've been through,
mm-hmm.
you know, in order to really help. It's
mm-hmm.
like, well, what people don't really know about you, you know, if they don't ask, you don't have to say anything.
Wow.
You know.
That's a story right there.
Right. But you're hiding me.
Right.
And so God has flipped it to
uh-huh.
where I don't have to do that. My whole entire platform revolves around where I've been.
Exactly.
Right. And so I use where I've been in order to open the doors and for others. And it's not just me. I'm able to open the door for others. And I'm still highly respected and everything because of just me.
Okay.
Right.
So in the work So how do you, what is, how are you, how you, what are your responses? I guess that's my question, that in the work that you do from these young men out here, because you're telling them to make a different decision. You're telling them to do something different, because it's insanity when you do the same thing and expect a different outcome. So how are you received? How are they, what are their responses to that?
It's being like Mahatma Gandhi once said, you have to be the example of the world that you wish to see.
Okay.
If you want to tell somebody different, you have to be the example of what that difference actually looks like.
Okay. Oh, hello, what happened? Oh, what? I'm sorry. I don't know how that happened. Okay. Let me move that. All right, go ahead.
You have to be the example of that. What that difference looks like. You want to speak different, you have to be different first.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be straddling a line or everything. You can't. You can't mm-hmm. afford to. You have to strictly be in the position. And a lot of times, to be honest, my actions speak before my words ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that more people watch you and pay attention to you
mm-hmm.
than you think that they do,
mm-hmm.
than you know. So
mm-hmm.
and when I realized that, a lot of people would come to me and say, hey, how is it that you do what you do? I don't understand how you, I don't see how you can go through this, homie. I wish I had it like you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are opportunities for me.
Okay.
When a person says that, those
mm-hmm.
are direct opportunities for me to say, hey, you know, it wasn't easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it wasn't easy for me, I didn't pray for life to get easier. I just prayed for myself to get stronger, you know, and enduring, because you're going through whatever you're going for a reason, and you're going to need that conditioning for somebody else to walk through. And so being that example, living that example, I'm not going to ever say it's perfect.
Right.
I'm gonna bring it straight to your chest.
Right.
And let you know if it is, it is.
Okay.
But if it ain't, it ain't.
Right. All right. So this, okay. So what does Creed stand for?
Well, first of all, it's Dallas Cred.
Sorry. You know, I messed that up a couple of times. Cred. Dallas
yeah.
Cred. So what does that stand for?
Cred is not an acronym.
Okay.
Cred is just short for the street name.
I got
street cred, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it just means that you're credible.
Okay.
You are the person who's actually been through it. You've walked it. You've talked it. It doesn't mean that you've necessarily been incarcerated, because half of my members aren't.
Okay.
But it does mean that you have been through a hard part of life. You have a life story to tell and give to someone, for the people that we are trying to reach.
Okay.
Because we are trying to decrease crime. We are trying to decrease violence. We're trying to deter away from the behaviors that make more that murder or shooting someone or beating up their wives or husbands or children. We don't want that to be your second response or your knee-jerk reaction. We want to give you alternatives to think about first. And so we want to empower you with tools that make you think differently and diffuse some of those behaviors. So we have to have people who've actually been there.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I've been there. I understand what you're going through. I know it's hard right now. I know it's hard catching a bus. I know it's hard not having no money. I know it is hard being in the gang. I know it is hard being locked up and nobody trusting you. Those are real stories that I can tell
mm-hmm.
that someone can gravitate to, because all it takes is making that connection.
Mm-hmm.
You can't heal what you can't feel.
So
although I might be talking from education
mm-hmm.
on my mind,
mm-hmm.
if you're not feeling what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
there's no healing that can be implemented into this conversation. No.
Wow. Dallas Cred. Where are you? Where are you located? How do people get in touch with you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, we're located right here in the heart of Dallas. We have two offices. I have an office of Dallas Cred. That's right there in the east side of Dallas. That's on I-30 address.
Okay. You're breaking up. Repeat that.
It's 8035 East RL.
Okay.
It's Dallas, Texas,
okay.
and the zip code is 75228.
Okay. All right. And then you said you had another one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can go to the Dallas office on Oh, my God, I'm drawing the blank. Let's just keep that one right
okay,
there.
Okay, we'll just do this one. Okay.
Oh, 8700 Simmons Freeway.
Okay.
North Simmons Freeway.
Okay.
Yes. It's in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
Well, all right. So, okay. So what are your, do you hold classes? Do you, you know, are you out, I guess you are out in your community, in your neighborhood, speaking to these young people on a daily basis?
And it's more than just young people. You
okay.
know, anybody who really needs the help. Like, what we do is we align ourselves and we partner with local organizations that's always giving back.
Mm-hmm.
We know we have a short team, but I have a team of all stars,
mm-hmm.
and I am proud of every last one of them. Trying to hire people who can do more than just two or three things. Like,
mm-hmm.
I wear a lot of hats, so that means you got to do it too. You know, you wear a lot of hats. You know, one dimensional is not going to work.
Here, uh-huh.
You know, because you have people that just they come to you. They need food. They need housing. They need rental assistance. They, you know, they need help. Getting off drugs, they need help, you know, with homeless, they try to lead gangs and stuff of that sort. And just whatever a family member goes through under their roof in the neighborhoods where we're catering to,
mm-hmm.
we want to have those resources. So if that comes from teaching, if it comes from just caring, concern, support, assistance,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, we want to be able to provide that or have direct referrals to the organizations, local organizations that do. And that's why we build what you call strength-based relationships in that matter.
Okay.
So, I, you know, my information is right there. I'm mm-hmm. going to leave it for you in the comments.
Oh, please.
My number is 469-594-6027.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's my public number right
okay.
there.
That's
my phone. It's right here. You can call me
anytime,
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are, tell us, before we let you go, I got two questions. What are some of your successes? And then what are some of your challenges?
I think my biggest success is what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
Me being on a show.
Okay.
With the local Metro, Texas Metro News host right here, Marva Sneed. I mean, this is wonderful. Just being able to just talk. I've been on, I can't count how many news stations that I have been on and shows. Being honored as the one of the heroes for a national syndicated organization, Amnesty International, being nominated as one of the heroes representing Dallas, Texas for the work that we do. It's just so many things that I can say is a success, but my major success is when I was in prison, I said that I was Marv Butler, the financially independent entrepreneur, great husband, loving father, successful motivational speaker, teacher, leader, and author.
And you're walking in that truth right
and
now.
And I'm walking in that truth.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is incredibly awesome. I also want to know about your, you've got something new that's coming out. Tell us about that you've got program, a new program. I saw that in your bio. Yeah, you said soon to be launched a Black Male Agenda group. Tell us about that.
The Black Male Agenda, BMA for short, is really a conglomerate of a lot of organizations, community leaders and stakeholders alike, who have all joined together in order to address the issues within the city of Dallas
mm-hmm.
as it pertains to the black male.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say black male, because mm-hmm. it's actually, once we've done the report, we found that the black male period from the age of 8 years old as a little boy
mm-hmm.
to age 55, every negative quality of life category. So if that means not being able to understand, comprehend, not being able to do academic, read well, not finishing school, first to drop out, first to not be college ready, first unemployment, first incarceration, first mass incarceration, first murder. I mean, it was just, they were number one in every.
Wow.
But there are no resources to alleviate these disparities in these marginalized communities. And so we wanted to know exactly what was being done about it. So therefore, the black male agenda was formed and born at that point in time. And now the success story is that the Mayor Eric Johnson of Dallas has convened a task force to actually address all of those quality of life categories. And so we'll be breaking out into 2022.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Will you keep us in mind? And do you have any events coming up?
When we don't have any events.
Okay, so tell me about that.
Well, first of all, we had a job fair past Friday that was phenomenal.
Okay.
It was for felons only.
Okay.
It was felony-friendly job fair. It was just field at the Beckley Recreation Center in Dallas, Texas, where they were really, all employers there were there to hire felons, and they had competitive pay, you know. So it wasn't anything like I was going through.
Okay.
It was something that was competitive pay. They were training them for different types of vocational industry training, and they were hiring them at the same time. So that was beautiful. That was a very big, successful monumental moment for me, you know, to be able to give back and do something that wasn't afforded to me when I was when I was out. So just being able to do that was a blessing. We're going to be doing it again.
Okay.
But this time with the City of Dallas Community of Courts up under Diane Gibson.
Okay.
Next month, we'll be doing it in partnership with them.
Okay.
So more information will come out about that.
Okay.
We have the mass community cleanup where we're going into these neighborhoods that have been just overran and with trash and everything, because we found that the morale is actually attached to the cleanliness of the neighborhood.
I agree.
We've been having Clean the Block events with my good friend O'Neill and I think Brian Hampton of the Clean the Block Initiative, working with Dr. Pamela Grayson that's over there at the Larry Johnson Community Center in South Dallas, just putting another felony-friendly job fair together for them. We have so much that is going on. Oh, the food drive in November.
Okay.
Which we will be having strictly for the homeless in November, to where we will be having coats, blankets, and food with the care packages. We're going to be working with a lot of partnerships, organizations on that, to put packages together on that part. And we do realize that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be going through churches and specifically partnering with organizations that's speaking on that behalf, because being a violent interrupter, that's one of the parts of alleviating and interrupting violence as it pertains to that as well.
Well, I mean, I'm just overwhelmed, and thank you. I just want to say thank you for what you're doing in the community. Thank you for what you are doing for people who are in need and giving back. I love your acronym, TREE, Truth, Restore, Empower, and Evolve. I love that. I really do. I love that. Congratulations to your incredible people that work with you. And Mar, I want you to come back. Let me know if there's anything, you know, we can do for you, you know, and we'll just shout out to you. Congratulations. You're doing an awesome job.
Oh, well, thank you so, so, so very much, Mar. And you guys do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give too much to me, you know.
Yeah.
I appreciate this. I really do appreciate this opportunity. It was always in me. It's been close to my heart. I'm passionate about local.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that includes the news too, because we have to have the people that's on the streets. We are boots on the ground. So no matter what, it's like you would tell my story exactly like I said.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah,
and that's what we want to do at iMessenger Media, is tell our own stories and tell them exactly how they happen. It's not dressed up. It's not. It is what it is, like you said.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If I say it, ain't, put the word ain't in it.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, Mark, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you today. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be safe out there, and just let us know. We are always here.
Hey, thank you so much, and you have a blessed weekend. I appreciate it.
All right, Mark. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was awesome. He was a wonderful young man, just telling his story, man, telling his story. And that brings me to our next very special guest. Her name is Danielle Izard, and she, listen, I'm going to let her tell her story because when we talk, I end up shouting and crying half of the time because I am, you know, she did an awesome thing this week, this Memorial Day weekend. So anyway, we're going to talk to her. I'm going to invite her now. Hello, Danielle.
Hey, how are you, Miss Marva?
I am fine. How are you? You look beautiful.
So much. You too, too. You always look beautiful.
So let's, you know, well, start out with this journey. This has been a long journey for you. This was not a journey I'm sure you even would have picked out for yourself. But as things would have it, as God would intervene into your life, and this is what happened. So let's just start out. Tell our listening audience exactly how you got started on your journey.
All right. Well, in 2007, in fact, it was this month, about 4 days ago, on September 13th of 2007, I suffered an injury at my job. I was in an accident where the elevator misleveled, and my foot got caught in between the floor of the elevator and the floor of the building, and I fell. And, you know, at the time I was 40 years old, I was like, oh, you know, I can shake that off. I didn't shake it off. I injured myself very badly. I had 7 herniated discs in my back, 4 in my neck, and no, I'm sorry, 3 in my neck and 4 in my back. Tore my right rotator cuff, injured my right hand, and messed up my left knee. So at that point, after about 2 years of going to the doctors, doing this, doing that, my injuries were getting, you know, they were not getting any better. The doctors had, I had to be declared disabled. And then in 2009, my doctors told me that I would not be able to return back to work, and that I should consider being in a wheelchair. So, yeah, it was about 12 years ago. That was in 2009.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a fight ever since.
Oh, wow.
I've had to deal with neck pain, back pain, you know, not being able, my right leg sometimes going numb, you know, some days I can get out of bed easy, and some days I gotta, you know, really work to get out of bed. But at that same time, when they told me that I couldn't go back to work, I was like, well, you know, I can't receive that I'm, you know, just done with this. So
mm-hmm.
I started looking into doing my own business, and at the time I started making soap. Because I, at the time also I had an issue with my skin. I had very bad eczema.
Mm-hmm.
And I was researching because everything was just making my skin itch. It was horrible. I couldn't even go in the sun. I had to wear long sleeves. And then I found a blog where this woman was talking about her son who had psoriasis and eczema.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, you know, my son's skin didn't start really clearing up until I started making his soap. And I was like, wait a minute, you can make soap? And then I was like, duh, you know,
mm-hmm.
our great-grandparents did it, you know. So I started researching on how to make soap. And I started, you know, I took a class with a professional soap maker, Marla Bosworth, at Back Porch Soaps. And I started, you know, watching all, like, the top soapers on YouTube, and I was taking notes and started researching ingredients for what's best with eczema and everything, and I started making my own soap. And then, you know, I felt bad because I really didn't have any money to give presents. So I was like, well, you know what? I'll make everybody, you know, 2 pounds of soap. not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started, you know, making soap, and I asked people, you know, what's your favorite scent, and what's this, and what's that, and mm-hmm. I started, you know, looking through, and I gave them out for Christmas, and then next thing I know, I was like, you know, Danielle, you know that soap you made me? Do you think you can make this? And girl, wait a minute, I like this. Could you make that? And the next thing I know, I had a business, and Savanna Armatique was born.
Oh, wow. That's an incredible story, because out of a need, you can mm-hmm. you developed something really, really good. So now, let's just talk just a little bit about eczema and soap, and how does that happen? I mean, how does that work? Because most people will say, well, I'm having I got a little flaky skin or whatever. I go to a dermatologist and they mm-hmm. write you a prescription for some chemical, and then you start using that, and then you feel like, oh, well, heck, my skin got worse. It didn't even get better. So tell us a little bit, where does that eczema, where does that come from, and how are we developing that?
Well, eczema is a skin condition, just like with psoriasis, you know, and even dry skin. It's based on genetics. It's also based on the food that we eat, and it's also based on the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a many factors that, you know, are comprised in it. But the one thing that that I've noticed, and, you know, they'll tell you, oh, put this cream on, put that cream on, and half the time it really aggravates it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're not looking at the core of it. For me, it was my, you know, it was also the food that I ate, but it was also the, you know, my mother had psoriasis. My father had issues with his skin as well.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that was genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it was the environment, the soaps that I was using, the creams that I was using, it just was exacerbating it. And when I realized that it was making it worse, I was like, but there has to be something. And with the soaps, what it is that they are chemical, they put hardeners in the soap,
mm-hmm.
which, because, you know, soap will basically break down after it, you know, with soap,
water
and soap
right.
together is a great thing, but then water and soap also can be a dangerous thing.
Okay.
because the water will break down the soap.
Mm.
So because what the big companies do is they take out what's called glycerin. Now, glycerin is the main thing that you need for your skin because it draws moisture to your skin.
Right.
But they strip the glycerin out of the soap, and then they add these chemicals to make the soap harder to last longer, which in cases hurting people who do have the eczema and skin problems like that.
Okay.
So that's why natural soap is so much better for the skin. And the one thing I'll always tell people is if you haven't tried natural soap, when you do, you're going to be amazed at the difference of how you're going to automatically feel the difference.
Mm-hmm.
When you use a regular bar of soap from the store, as soon as you get out the shower or the bathtub, your skin starts feeling kind of tight.
Right.
It looks itchy. And right. So you're thinking, oh, I need to, you know, lubricate. I need to put some lotion on. But with natural soap, you don't have that. Your skin doesn't get tight. Your skin doesn't, because it has the glycerin, which is now drawing, and the glycerin is like a humectant, which draws the moisture to the skin. And so that's why you don't feel that tightness. And then also what the commercial soaps will do is because you have that, it has the chemical, it makes a barrier. So you can put on as much lotion as you want. The lotion is not penetrating.
Mm-hmm.
But with natural soap, it'll penetrate and you'll have more, your skin will feel much more smoother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, much more lighter and easier to and supple,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, with the lotion, because
mm-hmm.
it's able to penetrate through the barrier, through that.
So natural soap, you call it natural soap. So
mm-hmm.
what's in it?
Okay. Natural soap is your basic oils, basic like castor oil, olive oil, coconut oil, palm oil. You can even use sweet almond oil, all the natural oils. And then you also have, now the only thing, and even with ingredients like I put in chamomile and calendula,
mm-hmm.
Which is really soothing, especially I use that when my skin might start breaking out or I feel like something is, you know, I'm itching because of the summer. And I will even use it when I have mosquito bites because you know how mosquitoes love to tear us up. So I'll use the chamomile and calendula, which is a herb. Now, chamomile and calendula, they're both known for their antibacterial properties. They're also known for their anti-inflammatory properties. But what I do is I make a tea out of it. And I infuse the olive oil with the chamomile and calendula. And then I also grind up chamomile and calendula in the soap. So you have an exfoliant, you have the property, you have the anti-inflammatory and the antimicrobial properties in the soap. Now that's a natural soap. Everything in the soap you can read. Everything in the soap you can basically handle. Now the one thing, and again, this is dealing with the cold process though. And a lot of people like, you know, cold process. Well, cold process is where it takes about 4 to 6 weeks to make the soap. It has to cure over 4 to 6 weeks. Because the drier the soap, the better the soap. The older the soap, the better the soap. And so that's what I do. I make cold process soaps. Just like our great-great-great-great-grandparents used to do. The only thing is, I don't know how they did it, but, you know, we have soap calculators now. We have, tabulations and everything else. Like, I don't know how they did it back in the day. But, like they used to take the oil from frying the chicken and everything. And they take that same dirty oil and they come out with the purest, whitest soap. And that soap was good enough to wash our bodies. That soap was good enough to wash the dishes, to wash the floor. It's that same type of soap. It's just a little bit more herbal, you know, we put herbs in it and essential oils that we know are really great. That's it. That's the basis of natural soap.
That is incredible. I really like that. I like that idea. So now we're going to move fast forward just a little bit. Okay. So you said, well, I got a business. And this business is going to be making natural soap. It's going to take care of my skin, and then I'm going to be able to help other people take care of their skin. So as a business owner, as a businesswoman, tell me about some of the challenges that you've had so far.
I think the most hardest challenge that I've had is to not so much accommodate, to be on the front line of what's going on with people's skin. I've had more people come to me with, I got this issue, I have this issue, I have that issue. So it's a constant learning, it's a constant process, it's constant taking classes or, you know, reading up on skincare, even checking with the ADA, which is the American Association of Dermatology, just finding out what the herbs or the oils that would be best for that situation. And just staying abreast on this, keeping on top of it. It's a constant learning, constant changing. I've changed my formula, my recipe for my soaps at least 4 or 5 times in that first 2 years. And I tweaked it down, but then I have different formulations for, like, say, which I'm starting to study rosacea, people with acne. I had to change that formulation to do that. So it's a constant, it's constantly growing and evolving and trying to keep them on top of that. And then, you know, trying to get the oils, because these oils, you know, natural soap is expensive to make, especially when you want quality for your people. You want quality, you know, because my thing is, I wouldn't put it on if I'm not going to put it on my body, I'm not going to make it to put it on you.
Right.
You know, I believe in that, you know, and so most of my stuff is organic. Most of it comes from fair trade. I try to make sure that it's earth sustainable. Like the palm oil at one point was going, you know, there was a thing about that. The palm oil is really great for the skin. So I buy only from buyers that make it sustainable, that it's replenishable, it can be replenished easily. You know, and I try to, even my packaging has to be eco-friendly. Because I am concerned about the earth. I am concerned about our waste. And it does also play a part on that skin as well. But with the pollution, the environment, everything that's going on, it wreaks havoc on our skin.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you are really telling us something. As a skincare specialist, I mean, it even goes a little bit deeper than that, you know.
Yeah.
So you got your business together and, you know, you've already been through this. And so how many no's did you get? You know, because they say before you become successful, you get so many no's. I mean, they told you were going to just need to go get in a wheelchair and do that and just wait to die. So what happened? You said, I'm not buying into that today.
No. And the truth be told, it just wasn't in my spirit, and I couldn't receive that. I know what God told me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing, if I could tell anybody as a business owner, you need to have faith. You start a business, you need to have faith. You need to be able to stand what He made you. Because man tells you, no, it's possible, it's crazy, it's not me. Nobody's going to believe, nobody's going to accept that, nobody's going to deal with that. When God says yes, that's just it. Mm-hmm. And Miss Marvel, when I tell you the fight that I had just to learn how to walk again, mm-hmm. the fight that I had, at the time I had a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And they had even told me at one point that I needed surgery on my neck. And it was the type of surgery where they would fuse the bones together and I would not be able to twist my head.
Right.
And I'm like, I said, God, I can't work like that. I can't do that. I can't, you know. And then you're telling me I'm going to have the surgery. I can't even, and then I won't be able to talk because they were going to go through my neck.
Mm-hmm.
Past the vocal cord.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't able to talk for a month. I'm like, I got to talk. I got to sing on the choir. No, I can't. I was like, no, this is not it. And I just told God. And I said, God, I know what you told me. I'm standing on your promise now. God, I need your help. And God answered my prayer. I was in prayer. And my pastor came over, and she put her hands around my neck. And I thought, that's my answer. I ain't getting no surgery. And I haven't had the surgery since.
Oh, wow.
So you need faith. I will tell anybody, if you starting a business, no matter what the business is, no matter what the project or the goal, you need to have faith. Stand on what God told you.
Mm-hmm.
God told me I was going to run a business. God told me
mm-hmm.
that I was going to, and I was going to need my legs to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I needed my legs. And it was nothing but his healing power that I'm able to walk today, that I was able to do. You know, but I did for the last Saturday.
Okay, so now we are going right there. That just leads us right into this because the last time you were here, we talked about mm-hmm. this. You said, you know, I've got my business. I'm looking for a new place. I am going to be set up. And so, but I have to walk. I want to do this walk. And I'm asking people to sponsor, to join in. But I'm going to do this. And so now go ahead and tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I was looking because I needed funding to get more supplies, to get some equipment. I needed, you know, I wanted to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get a store.
Mm-hmm.
And I even found the space and everything. Calculated everything that I needed, what I would need to do. I researched, and I love to research. I want to make sure that I'm hitting, you know, and I'm asking God for strategy, asking God for plans. And I said, God, I need the money. I need, you know, $25,000 to make
mm-hmm.
this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And He was like, well, you know how to do fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what about you do fundraising for, you know, you brought up a couple of fundraisers for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you use that? And I was like, but God, I don't know which one. And He said, walk.
Mm-hmm.
Walk.
Mm-hmm.
Walk. So I sat there. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord.
I'm not even supposed to be walking, period. And now you're telling me that's how I'm gonna get what I need is to walk?
So won't He do it?
Won't He do it?
So I went ahead, I sat down, I said, okay, Lord, tell me this, you know, and I sat down and I thought about it, and I was like, you know, when I thought about everything, God rolled back, like, you know, God would roll back the picture for
mm-hmm.
me. And I said, Lord, it's been 12 years. And I'm, you know, and I still have the walker, mm-hmm. but I haven't used it. You know what
okay.
I'm saying?
It's probably holding something up.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've been meaning to, you know, give it away, but I'm like, you know, but I saw the walk and I'm like, God, you know, this is only you. I know this is you.
Because
mm-hmm. it was just 12 years ago they were telling me to get, you know, you may want to consider being in a wheelchair because you're not getting any better. It was 12 years ago. You know, that you told me I couldn't even have a job, but here I am. I'm doing this. So, you know what? And that's where 12B squared came up. It was 12 years of determination upon determination to do this walk. So I did it 12 years ago to walk for my life, and I'm going to walk for the life of this business. So on Saturday, September 4th, it started at 8 o'clock. I started walking. I have the video on I have the video on YouTube, on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
But there was the same, my friends came out, they supported me. They came out with, you know, they did the Facebook Live, Instagram Live, brothers, my friends from the church, their ministers, they came out, they brought ice water for me. My pastor constantly was checking on me. You know, my family was checking on me, but I completed 12 miles. It took me, we were out there for 8 hours, but my walk time was 6 hours. I did 36,901 steps.
Wow.
And it was a struggle. It, the first 2 or 3 miles was okay. And mind you, I was training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us about that, because you had to, this is the kind of thing that you have to prepare for. You have to train for prior to doing this. There's just not, you can't just wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to go walk for 12 hours. So tell us about that. What was your training like?
I had spoken with a sister of mine in the church. She's a sweetheart. I spoke with her, and she's a kinesiologist.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows, she knows what pressure points to press and everything to get rid of pain. So I told her about the goal, and she's also a physical trainer as well.
Okay.
And she said, okay. So she made a plan for me.
Okay.
And so I was following that plan, but I would go a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would push myself.
You
I had to push
it.
Myself.
Okay.
Right. I made sure that I wasn't comfortable.
Okay.
You know, because the one thing about especially having a business, and I've learned, is that you can't be comfortable.
Right.
You have to push. You have to go outside yourself. You have to push outside that box, even the box that people put you in.
That's another one.
You have to push outside the box. She would give me, okay, one day, Daniel, you're going to do 1 mile. I did 1.5.
Okay.
The next day, Daniel, you're going to do 2 miles. I did 2.5 or 2 or 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed myself
mm-hmm.
because I knew I was going to have to push myself. And at the time, I was training to walk from, now, I don't know if you're familiar with New York City.
Mm-mm.
Okay. In New York, for those who are in New York City,
okay.
I was going to walk from 165th Street and Amsterdam okay. Avenue all the way down to 42nd Street,
okay.
and then back. That would have been the equivalent of 12 miles.
Okay.
So I'm walking just about half of New York City.
Okay.
Or half of Manhattan.
Okay.
Right. So.
Oh wow.
And so I was training. So I started walking from my home. I would walk up to 65th Street, then try to head down to 42nd Street. And during that time, I was facing some obstacles because I had to get up early. I had to, you know, go to work. I had to do this. And then what happened was I was walking from my house to, and my goal was to hit 80th Street. And, you know, that's a good amount. That's a good amount of traveling. Because
mm-hmm.
20 city blocks makes a mile.
Okay.
So from 140th to 100 is like 40 blocks. So now I'm going another 20 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm approaching 90th Street, a homeless gentleman starts harassing me to the point where I had to run into the building to get help.
Mm.
So I said, okay. So now I know I can't walk. I can't walk like that early in the morning. And I'm leaving my house at 5, and I'm leaving my house at 6, maybe 10 minutes after 6 in the morning
mm-hmm.
in New York City. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm traveling. I'm walking. And, of course, I don't have, you know, I made sure I had my phone on me. I made sure I had my, you know, and my asthma pump on me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm traveling. So at that point, I can't walk in the street early in the morning like that. I'll go to a gym.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the gym, went to climb up on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I can do a treadmill, you know, just took mm-hmm. my time and, you know, and hurt my leg. I hurt my right leg.
Oh.
So I couldn't, I couldn't train at that point. I had to take 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Heat wave comes into New York City. And the advisory was, do not go outside if you have asthma or anything else like this. Okay. I can't go outside. I don't know what to do. Now, it's coming closer to the time. Okay, but in the meantime, I have orders to make and everything else like this. I'm in the process of shipping up an order, doing what I need to do, and I sprain my back.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks prior to the war. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, God, I need you to really touch me right now. Because you know what this means to me. You know. When you told me that I was going to do this. So I rested. I didn't do, you know, I think I walked one week prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did something very light. I didn't really, you know, I didn't go that far. I must have did like maybe 3 miles
mm-hmm.
in 1 hour or something mm-hmm. like that. It wasn't, you know. And then I said, okay, that's it. I'm not gonna, you know, stress it anymore. I'm not gonna push it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I need to conserve my energy. I need to conserve. So that day of the war, I was hurting. I was in pain that day. And in the video, you'll see me kind of limping a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, I'm staggering because mm-hmm. my leg is starting to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for, you know, my friends being there, especially Minister Julie, Minister Ron. They walked.
Mm-hmm.
They walked like about 2 miles with me, and mm-hmm. then Minister Ron finished it off with me mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, I was on, you know, I wasn't mm-hmm. falling or whatever. Because there was a time I almost stumbled,
mm-hmm.
and then even on the walk, I was so determined.
Mm-hmm.
I was so determined to finish that walk
mm-hmm.
that I forgot to drink water.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to eat. I was like, my goal, all I saw was me hitting that 12-mile mark. That was it. And you know, it was a struggle, it was a fight. But but thanks be to God, I did it.
So it was a success. So you were able to do that. Now, did you take any breaks in between? Or you did, okay. You would stop for a little bit and rest and then mm-hmm. and walk again. Now, were you on the street or were you on a track?
No, I was on a track. This time, what they, because a friend of mine, Brother Kevin, he was like, Daniel, you know, I'm thinking about this thing and you're going to walk from, you know, 165th Street to 40th and, you know, you may not be able to get a bathroom, you may, you know, and then we will have, you know, the members might have a hard time with parking. And I was like, you know what, you're right. And he was like, he said, maybe you should do it at the Riverbank State Park. And because they have an outdoor track. So I went there and I looked at it. I walked around the track. It was much easier on my knees, my joints, because everything
mm-hmm.
was flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, well, New York City streets, they can mm-hmm. curve, they can be at a slant. So it was much easier. So I was like, okay, let's move it to the track. And it was a beautiful day that day, so it was, you know, it was great. You know, there was no issues. The bathroom was close by.
Okay.
I did take breaks. I especially had to take a break because, like I said, I have forgot to drink water.
Okay.
And so the heat, and it was hot that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I could feel my body like, and it was like, and I can hear the Lord say, you need to drink water. You need
mm-hmm.
to drink water.
Mm-hmm.
So I started drinking water, you know, mm-hmm. and that started giving me the energy back again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, this is an incredible story. This is an incredible story. So were you able to reach the goal that you had for your sponsorship?
No, I didn't reach the goal. But I am still, you know, I did speak with the pledge page that was running my campaign, and they decided, you know, I asked them if they could leave it open, so
okay.
they did leave it open until the end of the month.
Oh,
you know, so if anybody still wants to donate, they can. But I did show, I do have a link to the video where you can see me go through the mile markers and
uh-huh.
everything else.
Well, you put that in our chat. Put that in the chat for us. Yeah. Just type
okay.
that information in the chat and then we'll have it. Wow. Danielle, this is such an incredible story. It is a story of overcoming. It is a story of, you know, making it when you're told you aren't going to make it, you know, and it's a victory. And
yeah.
so you got the victory on this one. And, you know,
yeah.
if God gives you something, you don't have to worry about how it's going to be delivered. You just have to know that it's going to be delivered. You know that it's going to be delivered. And
right.
And say, okay, so that's it. It's coming.
That's it. And the one thing, and I put my website up there because
okay,
it
cool.
is on the front page of the website.
Okay.
The one thing that I'm really grateful for is that
okay.
he said that I was going to complete the 12 miles.
Uh-huh.
And I said, but God, I really wish my kids to be there.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wish my two boys would be there.
Uh-huh.
And I said, because I want them to see that, you know, let this be a testimony for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom, who's 54, okay,
mm-hmm.
and has four herniated discs in her lower back that's causing her right leg to go numb. And she did 12 miles for a business. There's nothing that can stop you when God is with you.
Right.
And so as I was going around that final round, and I'm going to try not to cry.
Okay, don't cry. It's okay.
I'm going to try not to cry. But I was getting near the mark, and I remember I was tired. My legs were hurting. My feet were hurting. I mean, my body was just in pain at this point. And it was hot. The sun was beating down on me. And my son called me. And I said, well, you know, and he's like, well, Mom, where are you? I can't find you on Facebook. I'm still walking. He said, Mom, you're not on Facebook. I said, no, they should be coming up pretty soon. Because I told, you know, I had them at the top of every hour, or, you know, when, you know,
okay.
when I was coming down to, you know, go up to Facebook Live or what have you. So he said, okay, Mom. He said, and I said, well, hold on, let me see, you know, because I had been walking, and I was like, I almost didn't hear the 11-mile mark.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought it at the tail. So I'm walking and walking and walking, and I look at my phone, and now I'm at 11.92.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, Minister Ron, who was walking next to me, and I looked at him, and I said, Ron, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm at 11.92.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what? Oh, man, I'm flipping this. I was like, and I remember I grabbed the phone and I said, well, I said, baby boy, I
mm-hmm.
said, this is it. I'm only 8 points away from 12 miles. Can you stay on the phone with me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Mom, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, baby boy, hold on. We're going in. And God will give you that push that when you think you're about to give out, when you think you're about to give in, he'll give you that push. He'll give you that thing that you need to push you a little bit harder.
Right.
And I said, baby boy, hold on. We're coming in. We're going in. And I'm walking. I'm looking at the phone. You can see it in the crowd. And I'm looking at the phone, and I hear the lady say in my ear, 12 miles. I went right into praise and worship.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I just, and I mean, I cried because I was like, it was only God that brought me this far. So I can only imagine where he's going to take me next.
Exactly.
So when I told him, I said, baby, baby boy, I did it. I did the 12 miles. And he was like, Ma, I'm so proud. Oh, my God, Ma, I knew if nobody else could do it, you could do it. That thing blessed my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Because now he has no excuse. He saw it being done.
Exactly.
He knows that if I could do it, he can do it. I have 11 grandchildren.
Oh, my
other son saw it. He was like, I saw you. Oh, my God, I saw you. Oh, my God. They were yelling and screaming. And I was like, I know if my children can see me do this, they know they can do it. They can accomplish it. As long as they got God on their side, they can do it. So I, you know, and that was the goal. That was my number one prayer, was not only for me to make the goal for the store and everything else like that, but that my children would see what I did for this business. My children would see that no matter what it happens, no matter what adversities come your way, I've had, Miss Marati, I've said it before. I was sick. I was down. I was homeless for 3 years trying to build this business. I've lost friends. I've lost loved ones, people that, you know, from my core of growing up. But God still held me. He still kept me. He's still keeping me. Even though I didn't reach the goal, but I was still able to get equipment. I was still able to, I'm still able to go now to a farmer's market that I've been trying to get to in front of Harlem Hospital here in New York City, where my soaps can be seen and touched and smelled. So my product line is expanding. I'm getting ready to release men's scents now, men's line. So God is so, so good. He's so good, so faithful, so wonderful. There's just not enough words.
No, it's never enough. As old folks used to say, and I'm one of those now, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for what you've already done for me. Hallelujah. That is so awesome, Danielle. I'm so glad. I wanted to ask you about, now I'm not a soap, a bar soap person. I like shower gel. So is that something you intend to do in your product line as well?
Oh, Miss Marvel, let me tell you what I've done.
Yay!
Let me tell you. Yes, we are going to be, like I said, I want to expand my line. So I do have the soaps. I have the Lufa soaps, which are, you know, there's Lufa embedded in the soap so you can exfoliate.
Okay.
I have the shower gels coming out. I have the body washes.
Okay.
Body washes are, you know, if it has milk in it, because some people can't think. You know, they need the milk, and milk is very good. So the goat milk, oat milk, not too much the regular milk, the cow milk, you know, but the goat's milk and the oat milk is very good.
Okay.
I'm going to be coming out with all of the foaming sugar scrub. I'm coming out with solid perfumes. I'm coming out with salt cakes. Salt cakes are scented. They're Epsom salt.
Okay.
So they're therapeutic. They help relieve the pain, the issues, but they also have ingredients that will also help soften the skin, soothe the skin, calm the skin down as well. So they're very therapeutic. I'm also going to be coming out with shower tabs. Where you can take a shower and it releases the scent.
Okay.
So like, yeah. So it's like, say you had it, you know, it's hard for you to wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have citrus mint. So that'll, you know, citrus wakes you up. Citrus oil wakes you up.
I love it. And you know what? I love that scent, too. I love a citrus scent. I like an oil. I've been, an oil that is ginger. But it's ginger, that oil, it smells citrusy. It's almost like lemon.
So this is a citrus mint where it has orange, grapefruit, and lemon. Sweet orange, lemon, and grapefruit.
Those are
and it revitalizes you.
Yeah.
If you have, I have eucalyptus mint. I have eucalyptus. Also, I'm going to be doing a new blend of eucalyptus mint and tea tree oil, because tea tree oil, people love the scent of tea tree oil. And I found that that's very calming and soothing as well. But it also will help your sinus passages. Like I told you, it's a lot of learning, a lot of, you know, I plan on going to classes, and I plan on even learning how to become a teacher to be able to teach people how to make soap and what have you like that. But yes, we have a lot going. We have bath and body oils coming out where you can put them in your bath water, or you can use that directly on your skin. It's solid perfumes. I even have one right here where it's just, you know, very simple.
Okay. Oh, it looks pretty.
Yeah, you just put it in your, you know, you rub it, put it on, and then you put it right in your purse. It's just boom, boom, boom. And then, yeah, in the home line, we're going to be coming out with something absolutely wonderful. We have the soy milk, but we're also going to be coming out with the rumen linen sprays and also air fresheners. And you, I don't know if you remember back in the day, they used to be in jars with little daisy lids. Wait a minute, let me see if I, like this.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so this is one of my new products that are coming out as well. You just take it off. It's, there's a lid there. You peel it off and then you let it sit. And we have some new scents coming out, like white pumpkin and amber. The men's line. Oh my gosh, men, y'all are going to be. Oh, if you have a girlfriend, they're really going to marry you at this point. We're going to have Moroccan cashmere, amber noir, very earthy, sensual, deep scents for men. Nordic night, which is a very ozonic, very air, fresh air, but very sensual, very, you know, subtle and, you know, very sexy. We got it all coming out for you. All.
Well, Danielle, this one, we're really proud. I'm really proud of you and your accomplishment, and this victory is amazing, and it's a great victory for you. We wish you luck. We wish you, you know, so much more, and with your business. And so I'm gonna we're gonna be wrap up our interview, but is there anything you would like people to know before we go? I've got your the name of your business in the chat there with the website, and people can go to it. And also, if people still want to do a sponsorship or whatever, do you have a particular place they can go to do that?
Yes, I'm going to put that in the chat as well. That's the Pledget. You can go to Pledget.org, and you can just put in the 12D squared walk.
I love that name, 12B squared walk.
12B squared.
Oh, that's wild.
12 miles for 12 years. As my mother used to, get on me. You just determined upon determined to do it your way. I was determined upon determined to make them 12.
So you made those 12 miles. And so now the next thing you'll do is you'll write a book.
Yeah, that's coming.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thank you for being on our show today. Thank you so much for sharing your victory with us. We shout hallelujah for you, and encourage other people to do it, to push yourself just a little bit further. Don't get comfortable. Be uncomfortable. And if you're uncomfortable, then you'll keep going.
That's it. That's it exactly. And never give up on what God told you. And no matter what man says, what God told you. That is the one thing that will definitely keep you going.
That is true. And with that, I say thank you again.
Thank you.
Take care. Enjoy your weekend. And we will be in touch really soon, okay?
Yes, yes. All right. Be blessed, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. That was pretty awesome. Miss Danielle, she had a story to tell. She had a journey, that she, a 12 year journey. Hello, Nina Bradford Hayden. How are you? We are so glad that you are listening today, that you tuned in to us today. I'm telling you, man, she said, you know what? No matter what other people tell you, you don't have to listen to what other people say. You can do whatever God tells you to do. If God tells you to do it, then that's it. It's a wrap now, right? It's a wrap. Hello. Thank you, Nina. Thank you. So now I was going to end the show with some highlights on the community calendar. What is going on? Amen. You know, and because it's a lot. It's a lot going on, but there's a lot of great things happening. And so we do not want to miss that. We want to be a part of that. And so I was just talking about what's going on tonight. There's a couple of great events that are going on tonight. There is the Friday night with Don Diego. He is a local Dallas talent saxophone player and great, great saxophone player. He's going, and him and his band, the Raz Band, is going to be at Club Odyssey, and that's on Westmoreland at 6 p.m. Face masks are required. So, hey, it's okay. I can wear a face mask and listen to some music. And that is 7439 Westmoreland Road at 6 p.m. tonight. There's also Greek night for all fraternities and sororities. You are invited at Crab and Bar, and that is at 305 West Farm to Market Road in Cedar Hill, suite number 316. So maybe we should hang out tonight. Let's go grab some crab. And so that is going on. And then on Saturday, there's a presentation, and it's called Freedman Town Talk, and it's presented by Remembering Black Dallas Incorporated. It is free, but you must register. So go to our website. And that's www.texasmetronews.com. Go to the website, pull up our community calendar, and this event, September the 18th, is there. It is from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m., and you want to register to check that out. Dinner at Dax featuring Maurice Curtis. He is a saxophone player, and that is at 8700 Preston Road in Plano, Texas. That's from 6 to 10 p.m. And the Garland NAACP 30th Annual Freedom Fund Virtual Brunch is Saturday. The Mistress of Ceremony is Lakeisha Culpepper. The speaker will be Dr. Devin Atchison, and it is going to be held at Westside. He's from Westside Baptist Church, and this is a virtual brunch. It starts at 10 a.m. You can donate just by going to garlandtexasnaacp.org/freedomfund and check that out. National UNCF for Education. It's a virtual 5K walk. Go to register at uncf.org for that. Oktoberfest at Ash and Amber in Cedar Hill from 12 to 11. That's at 2226 Texas Street in Cedar Hill, Texas. That's from 12 p.m. to 11 p.m. And then the NC 100 Black Women Dallas Metropolitan Chapter is having their 2021 member induction ceremony. The keynote speaker is Honorable State Representative Tony Rose. That is a virtual event. You can register and get the registration link on our website at www.texasmetronews.com. That's www.texasmetronews.com. www.thewayofgod.com. And we want to send a shout out of happy birthday on Sunday to our team member, Dr. Linda Emerson with LA Hair Essentials. Happy birthday, Dr. Linda. I hope you have a wonderful birthday on tomorrow. And on Sunday. And then on Sunday as well, our Andrew Wiggum, he is the host of The World According to Drew. And that is on Blog Talk Radio from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And you can call in and have a conversation. Enjoy the talk with Andrew Wiggum III. All right. West African Dance Drum and Drum History Virtual Residency Event on Sunday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. But there's so many more in our calendar, but you can check that out. I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. This has been a great show. I really enjoyed talking with Mar Butler. He is the CEO program and program coordinator for Dallas Cred. And his number is 469-594-6027. If you have some tools that you need, if you know somebody that needs some help with housing, with substance abuse, or whatever they're dealing with, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be young. It could be anybody in your community. Just reach out to Mr. Butler. His name is Mar Butler. He's CEO of Dallas Cred, and that's 469-594-6027. Reach out to him. And then if you want to check out these natural soaps by Miss Danielle, you can Savon Aromatique at savonaromatique.com. That's Savon, SavonAromatique.com. Check her out. It is in our chat, so you guys can check it out. And if you want to donate to the Pledge It, help her out there, you know. It is going to be North Texas Giving Day coming up here on September the 23rd. So there are a lot of nonprofits out there that could use your help. And it's a great blessing to be a blessing to someone else. So awesome. I'm so excited about all of the things that are happening. But check us out. Again, I want to thank all of my listening audience today on Blog Talk Radio, as well as here live on Facebook. And, you know, listen, it is a blessing. Every day is a blessing. When you wake up in the morning, you have to thank God for it. You know, you do. You just have to do that because without God, we are nothing. And with him, we can be everything that he has a desire for us to be. And, yeah, that's it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I want you guys to join me every Friday from 11 to 1 right here on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio as well. Now, you wonder how iMessenger Media is able to do what they do, what we do. And that's because we have a strong team, and we have a fearless leader, Cheryl Smith. We have several Blog Talk shows throughout the week. You can catch You can catch Dr. Felicia Shepherd on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. on her YouTube channel, and you can also catch on Wednesdays Dr. Linda Emerson on her YouTube channel as well, Ask Dr. Linda, and right here on Facebook on our Texas Metro News page, you have Norma Adams Wade with I Was Just Thinking, veteran journalist, and she had a great show this past Wednesday. It's from 11 a.m. to 1 as well. And then on Thursdays, we have The Connection with Deborah Brown Stearns, and that is at 7 p.m. in the evening on our Facebook Live page and all Texas Metro News, and also on Blog Talk Radio. And then me, I am here on Fridays from 11 to 1, and we have Saturday Surprise. And then on Sundays, we have The World According to Drew with Andrew Witham III. We have three websites, www.texasmetronews.com, www.gardenjournal.com, and www.myimessenger.com. And we have social media on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Follow us. And we would love for you to be a part of our eBlast daily newsletter by just sending us your email address, and you can send it to editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. Send us your name and your email address. We'll put you right on that list, and you can receive happening the latest in news throughout this country, in Texas and throughout this country, in the morning, every morning in your inbox. And again, we thank you for that. Now, it is just about time to get out of here, and I like to just end my show playing, you know, my girl, my favorite girl, Mary J. Blige, and I'm just fine, because guess what? We are. We get up, we do it, and we love ourselves first. We start with loving ourselves, and we keep it going, and for Marvel with Love, I just want to share with you, you know, my love for you, my love for everything that we do together. Thank you, all of my listeners that were on with me from Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook. But here is Mary J. Just fine. And guess what, y'all? I don't own the rights to this Facebook, so don't worry. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and we'll see you here next Friday.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you want.
Bye.